comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, the show where you actually matter. Tonight is K-Files night. That means that immediately after the show, we'll begin sending out our free weekly newsletter. And I mention it virtually every night on the show, and yet there are folks who still cannot figure out why they're in the dark. They haven't subscribed, and they can't figure out why they don't know some of the things we're talking about. Well, the answer to the problem is subscribe. It's free. And all you have to do is just click that link on my website that says K-Files, and in about 10 seconds, you'll be subscribed, okay? Tomorrow evening is the time for our monthly chat. I always go in the chat room in the first Saturday of each month. Now, I drop into the chat room from time to time at other times, but I have a regularly scheduled time that I go to the chat room so that you know I'm there. And it's at showtime on the first Saturday of the month. So I hope to see you in the chat room. It's in our members area. And, you know, if you're not a member, you can solve that. It's 23 cents a day. And that's a lot less than the last cup of coffee you had. So join our members area, then you get to watch the show. You get to watch the latest show, the live show, the Video Galaxy. You get into the K-Pods, that's our archives, chat, forums, a bunch more stuff. Well, last night, you know what happened. Our intended guest, just before showtime, had his telephone disabled. And then we got hit right at showtime. The connection was getting hit. It's getting hit tonight, right now. And it's the video connection that's getting hit. We're getting around it, but nevertheless, I'm watching it, and it is getting hit. Now, because of that situation last night, today I picked up the telephone to call someone else, another witness about that same story. And it's someone that I have talked to about that story before. And that person's telephone has been disabled. But in a roundabout way, an indirect way, I was able to get in touch with him. And the deal is, it's a cell phone, and he and his wife each have a cell phone that it's both of those are on the same account. Only his got disabled. So it's not for non-payment. Okay? Only his got disabled. Interesting, huh? So what are we going to do tonight? Well, you're going to find out on the other side of this break. And welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. At the top of the show, I was talking about what has happened with the guest that I was supposed to have last night. His phone was disabled. Someone else who talked with me about the same story, telephone disabled. So I decided, mantra, when there's a black hole in the information, the truth is usually sitting right in the middle of that black hole. And so that always draws my attention. Tonight, I have with me someone that I did not announce. And I did not announce because I wanted to make sure of something, and that is if someone is going to do any telephone interruption, they're going to have to do it live on the air so you can hear it. I don't know if they're going to, but none of the hidden stuff, okay? The deal is if it's going to happen, you're going to hear it. And my guest is Walter Bosley. Walter, you were saying, although I could hear you just fine, you were saying that during the break that there was some kind of weird noise on your telephone, right?
It's still, from your end, you're sounding like there's some type of digital glitching that's trying to go on. It's kind of interfering, a little interference.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that has to be happening somewhere between here and you, because here, as far as the broadcast goes, everything sounds smooth. Everything sounds good. So it's somewhere between Phoenix and where you are.
Yeah, unfortunately, where the phone is in the room I'm in, I don't have a view out to the area where the phone lines connect to the house, so I can't see if there's any Oompa Loompas out there messing with the box.
Any what?
Oompa Loompas.
Okay. Oompa Loompas, all right. Walter,
yeah.
What I wanted to talk with you about, because of your background, mm-hmm. and because of other conversations that we have had that seem to be maybe somewhat related to this, is this alleged Stargate that people are saying has opened in the Gulf of Aden, right off of the coast of Yemen. Mm-hmm. I have said on the show, and I continue to maintain, I don't know if that's true or not. Now, it has, look, Dick Criswell came on the show, and he told us that it had been confirmed to him by a three-star general that, in fact, that is a Stargate, and that, yes, there are warships around it, and those warships are from the nations that he named, and the general confirmed that, yes, that's correct. Okay. Now, when I say I don't know if this is, in fact, a Stargate, I'm not saying that I think Dick Criswell is not telling us the truth. What I'm saying is, I haven't been there. I haven't seen it. We have the testimony of Dick Criswell that it is true. And, I certainly have a lot of respect for Criswell. He's been on the show a lot of times. And so far as I know, has never misled us. And so, I'm not calling into question what he told us. What I am saying is I have not been there. I have not seen it. So I cannot say that I know that that's what it is. But it's a big buzz on the Internet. And the thing, are you still with us, Walter?
Am I what?
I just wondered if you were still with us because I just heard a little click on the line.
Yeah, I'm listening and waiting for my turn.
Yeah, okay. The thing about this being a Stargate, it's big news out on the Internet, and maybe it is a Stargate, and maybe it is not. but I wanted to run this past you because we've talked about some things that are somewhat related to this before. Mm-hmm. So what do you think?
Well, I want to say a couple of things just based on, you know, I learned about this from you and the research I did, you know, over the last hour or so to prep for the show. Couple of things. Number one, I saw a picture, an alleged photo of the so-called Stargate. And what it is a swirling cloud. And for all intents and purposes, to me, it just simply looks like a swirling cloud. Like, you know, like how the eye or the beginning of a hurricane thing kind of looks, but it's nowhere near hurricane conditions, as far as I can say. I'm not a meteorologist. But for all appearances, the so-called Stargate in the photo I saw looks simply like a cloud. Now, number two, one flag went up for me, and then that was followed by another one, and that is this. There are news reports all over the Internet about ships from Russia, Iran, and all these nations that have gone to the Gulf of Aden to help commercial shipping deal with the Somali pirate issue. And number one, that rang true with me, like, aha, that makes sense. Big international effort. Everybody wants to protect their commercial interests, and that makes perfect sense that all these nation ships would be there. We're trying to send a message to these Somali guys and so forth. Now, the other flag that went up to me was, and I agree with you, I think Mr. Criswell, who I don't know personally, but I'm sure he's telling the truth, his source might be fudging a little bit, because the thing that comes to mind is something I might have mentioned on this show before, and that's perception management. There could be some military operations going on over there that even the Somali pirate situation is a cover for. It might have more to do with the Iranians and their rattling their saber over the nuclear weapons and their comments about what they're going to do to Israel and just the general state of things over there, and the various nations of interest and concern are just kind of all gathering over there. In other words, there might be some type of more down-to-earth military situation brewing over there, and it might just be easier right now to tell curious people that, oh yeah, it's this Stargate or it's this science fiction thing going on, just to deter the masses from looking at it at the moment. But for me, the fact that, you know, that there's reports of them going over there for the pirate issue and just what's going on generally in the area, I think we might be looking at a perception management operation just to cover some much more mundane, down-to-earth military situation.
One of the things that I pointed out on this show when we've talked about this briefly is, you know, I said, well, look, you know, maybe it is. I don't know. But, you know, the reports on the Internet say up to 300 ships are there. That's a whole bunch of ships in that little bitty Gulf.
It's a whole bunch for just to deal with the Somali pirates. I agree with you. If it were just the Somali pirate issue, 300 is a hell of a lot of warships. So that's what raised my flag that maybe it's something else going on, and the pirate issue is just kind of what they're using to give a little camouflage for what's really going on.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, now, see, that's what, if you look on the Internet, you'll find Project Camelot did an interview with a guy named Aaron McCollum. And Aaron McCollum says in this interview that all of this Somali pirate stuff is a false flag. And it being used as a cover. Now, I receive email from, you know, all kinds of people and all kinds of organizations from all over the world. And one of the news sources that I get said back in December that American Special Forces had already been going into Yemen, had already gone into Yemen. And this was like early December. And they were saying that, you know, these forces were going into Yemen. All right, now, January the 5th is when this thing supposedly opened up, this Stargate. Now, if in fact it is, if that part of the story is true, and I have no way of knowing, not yet, I have no way of knowing if it's true. If it is true, it would seem to indicate that our military had perhaps some prior knowledge, some early warning that this thing was going to open. Mm-hmm. Because our ships started heading that direction, special forces went into Yemen, you know, and so what's the deal? Did they know ahead of time that it was going to open? And if they did know, Walter, how could they know when, first, how could they know that there's a Stargate there, and then how could they know when it was going to open?
Well, under that hypothesis, or within that hypothesis, that let's say there is a Stargate and they had some heads up that it was going to open, that could go back as far as 1943 to the Philadelphia experiment.
Really?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay. Clue us in. How does that work?
Well, I was unable to find any direct association to you know, the Philadelphia experiment and the Gulf of Aden or the Middle East through the in the time that I had to prep for the show. But if you take at face value what the Philadelphia experiment was rumored to be, and that is the opening of a vortex or Stargate, if you will, this was the allegedly the first experience we had had with these things, and perhaps as a result of that experiment, we have been able to know when these things are going to open. In other words, it could be it opened up in 1943, and the other end of it was in 2010. So they knew that something that fell into the vortex or sucked into the vortex in 43 was going to come out in 2010, and maybe that's why they're going over there, to see what comes through or to watch it come through. That falls under your hypothesis that we are dealing with some type of gate, interdimensional gate or vortex.
I want to make it clear that's not my hypothesis. What I am saying is, if that's what it is,
right,
then what can we, what should we be looking for, and what sort of information should we pay attention to? But I'm not hypothesizing that it is in fact a Stargate. I don't know. I just don't know. But I do know this. I do know that I got an email from one of our listeners over in Australia. Attached to that email was a photograph. This was a photograph of a weather map from a weather satellite in Australia, showing something very similar to what you see in the Gulf of Aden, forming off the coast of Adelaide, right off of the Australian coast, just off from Adelaide. And then last night, that listener said that he didn't know exactly what was going on, but that those weather maps have disappeared. Those satellite shots showing that have disappeared from the site they were on. And his question is this another Stargate opening?
Sure.
All right, let's talk about the Stargate idea. Is that really even possible?
Personally, my opinion is yes, why not? Based on things that I've heard from people I trust, I'm told the Philadelphia experiment opened up a vortex. I was told that. And in my personal opinion, you know, the things I've studied and experienced in research, I absolutely believe in, you know, the whole interdimensional physics and, you know, parallel dimensions, that kind of thing. It's certainly possible, I believe. I accept, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you have any information, or have you heard anything from anybody that would be in a position to know about whether or not we have actually been experimenting other than the Philadelphia experiment? Have we been experimenting with time travel at our stargates?
Well, I think I've talked about that here in the past, that, you know, I was told by someone superior to me that in structure hierarchy that you know, time travel had been possible, and they had been fooling around with that for 100 years, and that was in the 1990s. I was told this, so that puts, you know, the time travel that this person was referring to starting in smack dab in the era where Tesla was, you know, really getting into some interesting things. And of course, Tesla is associated in the lore of the Philadelphia experiment. And this same person also told me, was the one that told me, that the Philadelphia experiment indeed opened up a vortex. So, you know, we're talking about time, dimension, you know, all of this stuff here. And, you know, there's just I think all the pieces that can support, you know, your point of view on this are out there if you recognize them, you know, as such. I know that sounds vague, but... You know, that's what I had to go on, and then, you know, what I've researched and read and thought on this and experienced on this led me from there to accept this possibility as a, you know, very viable, real possibility. If you're asking me what I believe, yes, I absolutely believe that, you know, interdimensional travel, time travel is possible.
Now, when you say is possible, now we have a break coming up, so keep this short. When you say is possible, you mean you think we may have the technology to do it now?
Yes. I personally believe that time travel and interdimensional travel is the big secret answer to the UFO question. Yes, there are aliens on other planets. Yes, they come here. But I think the real secret has to do with there's something interdimensional and with time going on, and they'd rather have us believe in the grays, and that it's only the grays and it's only the aliens. They don't want us to know that it's the time travel thing as well.
All right. We have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking with Walter Bosley, and we're talking about this alleged stargate that has opened up, alleged to have opened up, in the Gulf of Aden, or I think it's more properly pronounced, Aden. But in any event, Walter, you were saying that you believe that the technology to do time travel and to create these stargates or vortexes, if you will, you believe that technology exists today.
Mm-hmm.
And you were told, you were given some information about this type of thing by someone that you said is superior to you in the pecking order. Is this someone that would be considered a government insider?
Yeah, of course they would be. I didn't mean to sound hesitant there. I'm just making sure. I don't want to say something I'm not supposed to say, so I'm going to be slow and careful.
Okay, so this person would be a government insider, and would this be a person who would be in a position to know such things?
Yes.
We've heard, Walter, you were talking about that, you know, you think this is the big secret, is time travel, dimensional travel, or whatever people want to call it. Okay, we have heard now for probably the past decade, we've been hearing stories from people who say they were part of a program where they, in fact, did this sort of time travel or transport travel or whatever, and went from here to Mars virtually instantaneously. And they say there's a base on Mars, and that's how they got there. What do you think about those stories?
I think there's very possibly, you know, something to them because, you know, as I've said on this show, I'm an advocate of this, which, to be clearer to the listeners, I support the very idea of it being done, and that is some sort of secret space program, absolutely. And it would make sense that the covert classified space program would have these advanced technologies. It might be the very reason that they are so covert, or it might be that because they need to be covert, they take advantage of these technologies. But, that fits with, you know, things I was told about, you know, what's really going on with the space program.
Okay, so that leads us in a couple of other directions now. So you think that, number one, we do have a secret space program, and number two, you support the idea that we should have. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Why? Why do you support the idea that we should have a secret space program?
Because it's just, it's going to be real boring and mundane, but it's the whole idea of you don't want to show your entire hand. You know, it's the classic, you know, he who has the high ground wins. You know, knowledge is power. Yeah, I could go on all night with these things, but, you know, it just makes good military national defense sense, you know, to have these things. I'm glad we do. If it's true, if what I've been told is true and what I've gleaned from my active duty time, is what I'm saying, then, for me, I'm glad it's in place.
Now, you were U.S. Air Force. You were an officer in the U.S. Air Force.
Yes.
And you were attached to the Office of Special Investigations. You were a special agent. And you dealt with counterintelligence. Now, you know, because we know each other, not just through the telephone, but personally, and you know that this is not an antagonistic question, but this is a question that I have to ask on behalf of the audience. How do we know that what you're telling us now is not disinformation?
The audience, the listeners, actually probably cannot know, because I acknowledge that it could be a line of BS told to me, or let me rephrase this, some basic truth fed to me with little sprinkles of BS on top, and the BS part could be the more sensational aspects. You make a very good point there. We don't know. However, that said, the reason I'm willing to go out and state my position on this is when you study other things like the Philadelphia Experiment, like what Tesla was doing, like what Victor Schauberger was doing in the 1920s and 30s, like what the Nazis generally were doing in World War II, like what Joseph Farrell writes about and investigates these days, what Richard Hoagland writes about and investigates these days, what even your guest a few nights ago, Michael Cremo, writes about. When you take all these things, plus what goes on in the UFO phenomenon, you take all these things, plus the things, you know, I'm speaking for myself, plus the things that I was told, the preponderance of the evidence leans toward it being more than just a disinformation line. That, you know, I was fed. But 100% certainty? No. No.
And I think it's important, really, for everyone in the audience to know that even the people that are on active duty working in intelligence can't be sure what the truth is. They can only be sure what they see and what they experience and what they report. They have to trust the truthfulness of all the other information they are told.
Right.
But they can only be sure about what they themselves see and experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Walter, There's a reason I ask about this Stargate travel between here and the moon. I don't know whether to call it Stargate or teleportation or time. I don't know what it is. But the ability to walk into some sort of a unit, they push a button, turn a dial or whatever, flip a switch, and you disappear from here and you reappear in another location, maybe in another time. Okay, now, the reason that I asked about that, about do you think that, those stories about people going from here to Mars, do you think that's correct? Here's the reason. Among the stories that we've heard about Mars is that there is an Anunnaki base either on Mars or on Phobos. Mm-hmm. And that there were some Anunnaki that evacuated from Mars, and they left at their base. I think it's the number is 300. And that they, and I have heard, look, I've heard this from someone who has been a real insider. And it's just kind of shocking information. Yet, I've heard it from someone who's been a real insider here. That these 300 have been in stasis. And that they are beginning to wake up. Now, what I wonder in conjunction with that is there a correlation between these Anunnaki that are alleged to have been left on Mars and what's happening in the Gulf of Aden? Is that how, if we're going from, let me draw the connection even clearer. If we're going from here to Mars with this type of technology, and that's us doing it, then it seems quite obvious that the Anunnaki could do exactly the same thing from Mars to here.
It's a very intriguing possibility, and it, you know, it makes, within that hypothesis, yeah, it makes logical sense that, you know, they would that they would be able to do it, and you know, it might be their technology that we use to do it ourselves to get up there in the first place.
All right, now let's go back to the idea that we all know about the pirates in Somalia. We all know that story. I mean, that's an ongoing problem. But now, within the framework of this story about the Stargate, there is the information on the internet that this whole thing with the piracy is it's a false flag operation. It's a smokescreen to cover what's really going on there. And now let me ask you, do you have any way of knowing if the stories about 300 warships being in the Gulf is true? Do you have any way to know if that's true?
You mean other than, like, your sources, well, the media reports?
Yeah, well, from any source. Do you have any way of knowing?
You mean in general or me or?
You personally. Do you have any way to know if there are 300 warships in that Gulf?
Other than what we hear through the media, or if you happen to have a personal source in the Navy, for example, who should not tell you, most likely, if they're involved in it. But it's kind of interesting that the number is 300 warships, and you were talking that the other story is that there's 300 of these Anunnaki in stasis. I find that an interesting correlation.
So did I, and that correlation was not drawn in the information that I saw on the internet. But when I saw the information on the internet about 300 ships, I remembered what I had heard from this person who is now retired, but was a very much an insider in a position to know this kind of information. And he had said there were about there were 300 of them left, and they were in stasis, and that there was a small crew not in stasis, and they were sort of just the maintenance technicians to make sure all the others are okay. Mm-hmm. And that they are beginning to stir. They are beginning to awaken. Well, let me tell you, I heard that 2 years ago.
Are they not only, according to Sitchin, I believe, and other sources, are they not also giants? Aren't they supposed to be quite a bit bigger than we are?
All indications are the Anunnaki were a lot larger than us. They would be the absolute envy of any NBA or NFL team.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, this correlation between the 300 and 300, like I say, that was not mentioned in any of the material that I saw on the internet. That it wasn't there. Okay, so this is just something that in my mind said, hey, now that's pretty cool. 300 warships, 300 Anunnaki.
I have another correlation that comes to mind.
Okay.
What if this 300 warships and these 300 Anunnaki, what if there's some, what if that's just a symbol or a code? What if there's a Thermopylae type of situation going on with this Stargate?
Okay, we have to get that when we come back. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening with Walter Bosley, and what we're talking about is this rather sensational, and I would say rather fantastic story that's out there on the internet right now, stating that, in fact, a Stargate has opened up in the Gulf of Aden, just off of the coast of Yemen, and that it is somewhat surrounded by about 300 warships. These ships are said to be from the USA, Great Britain, Germany, Japan, China, Iran, and one of the stories I read said that the Indian Navy had announced that they had warships en route, so they may be there by now. Now, I have observed on this show, I've stated, that maybe it's true. I don't know. I haven't been there. And I will not likely be going there, but maybe it's true. However, if it is, the Gulf of Aden is a very small place to be putting 300 warships. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I'll tell you, that would be a crowd, and a big crowd. I'm not real sure that logistically could happen, but assuming that it could, Walter, you were saying something about these 300 may be a code for what?
It could be a code because the situation could be a Thermopylae of sorts. In other words, it could be this international coalition of naval ships is there, and force is there to confront, receive, confront, and hold off maybe a massive invasion coming from this other dimension, or at least a massive power. And I say the Thermopylae, you know, those of you familiar with the movie 300 and the historical Battle of Thermopylae, where the 300 Spartans held off the million-man Persian army at a key point.
Yeah, and that one isn't fiction at all. They actually, the 300 actually did hold off the a massive Persian army.
That's right. That's historical fact.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is some, you know, coded reference, you know, somebody's way of saying, getting the message out that that's what's going on here. That's a theory, because like I said, the photo I saw looks just like, you know, a swirly cloud.
Yeah, it does. And in fact, people who are watching on our TV channel, a couple of times this evening I've shown the photograph of that, and let me show it again. But you can see it looks like a swirl of cloud or mist. But I mean, the question is then what
the beginning of the gate opening.
Maybe, yeah. Now, they say it has opened, that it opened on January 5th. The reports that I read, when I say this is all over the Internet, there's not that many reports or articles about it, but these are duplicated on a whole bunch of sites. But the amount of information is pretty small, and but it says that they have observed sort of a plasma type, streams of plasma coming in and out of this vortex. I don't know.
The problem I have, that I see with, you know, that this is being seen is, you know, what about the civilian people over there that certainly can see this? I've spent quite a bit of time in the Middle East, and I'm telling you, everybody over there, just about, you know, in the cities and stuff, and even outside the cities, you know, a lot of, you know, people here in the States and in some other places would be surprised, you know, how many of these people have cell phones, you know, and with the cameras. So why aren't we seeing a whole bunch of photos of this Stargate being open, you know, being put on the Internet? Because I'm telling you right now, they can't control everybody. You know, if there's a million people aiming their cell phones up there, photographing this amazing phenomenal anomaly and this event, there's going to be pictures of it, more than just a swirly cloud that we've seen from the satellite out on the Internet.
Well, you would think so. And, you know, you would think that in that photograph, I put up the photograph that you've seen. You've seen the same photograph, the satellite photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we see any ships?
Yeah, that's another thing.
I mean, if you had 300 ships in that small gulf, you got to see some ships in this area, because that gulf is way too small for them to be back far enough to be out of the field of that camera, I think.
Right.
I mean, that's my assessment of it. So maybe, I mean, the solution to that is that I'm underestimating the mileage in this photograph. The other solution is that perhaps there are not 300 ships, but some ships from these representative nations. But here's another question, Walter, because, you know, I asked this on the air the other night. And I'm going to ask you, do you really think that there's any weapon on any of those ships or on all of them collectively? Do you think there's enough weaponry of the right type that you really could do any damage to something that had the ability to come through that Stargate?
Sure. Why not?
You think?
We've been messing around with that stuff ourselves for over 100 years. That's historical fact. Again, I refer to Tesla, John Worrell Keeley, Victor Schauberger, you know, the various Nazi scientists, you know, sure, why not? Because we would have been, if this is all true, if these things are really out there and they mean us harm, and they were so overwhelmingly, you know, beyond our power,
uh-huh,
we would have been openly invaded by now.
Well, now that's one way to look at it. Here's another way to look at it. There was no reason to invade us until we developed that power and that ability.
But then again, I counter that with, why the hell wait until we achieve that ability? Why not take us when we're sticks and stones? I mean, you know, it doesn't make military sense to wait until, you know, you've got the atomic bomb. Wait until your foe has it before you you get belligerent with him or take him on? No. If you want to, if your aim is to conquer, you're going to do it when you're the Starship Enterprise and we're sticks and stones.
Well, that makes sense. Okay, now
that's my view of that, you know.
What about the possibility that something comes through this Stargate? Now, we're going on the assumption that these reports are accurate. And like I said, you and I haven't been there. We cannot say, and we're not representing them as being accurate.
Right.
But going on the assumption that they are accurate, what's the possibility something comes through this Stargate with friendly intentions, but it's something new, strange, and frightening to the people on these ships? Somebody really freaks out and pushes the button and attacks this thing, whatever comes through. I mean, that could be disastrous, couldn't it?
Well, here's what I think about that. If you and I can think of it, somebody way up our pay grade when we were in that scale, they've thought of it on a much higher level. And if this were the case, if these ships were being sent there to receive whatever's coming through a Stargate from another dimension, I guarantee you each and every member of those crews were seriously vetted and prepared for said event, and that they have done everything that can possibly be done to select the people that will be, you know, presented
uh-huh.
with, you know, the possibility of that coming through. That's based on, you know, my experience, you know, such as it is.
But having looked at all of this, you're still of the opinion that the most likely story is that there's not 300 ships, but there are some, and they are there for the Somali pirate problem.
Well, on the number of ships, there could indeed be 300 ships, but you know they're out there doing their cruising around the general area. There may not be 300 specifically in the geographical Gulf of Aden or Aden. I do believe that because the news reports flat out, you know, say it, and it makes sense that, you know, some of them are there. They're protecting the commercial shipping interest.
Yeah. We'll deal with that when we come back. We'll be back right after this, and in a little bit, we'll open the phone lines. Don't go away.
Arizona, this is the Kevin Smith Show.
All right, we are back, and we're talking with Walter Bosley this evening. And now, Walter, the thing about the pirates, we know that's out there. How much of that piracy would you suspect is manipulated?
It is what?
Manipulated. Do you think it's all just raw native piracy, or do you think some of that's being manipulated by some intelligence agencies?
I am inclined to believe that if there's any intelligence agencies or any, you know, nations behind it, it's the ones that want to mess with the more capitalist type Western nations. Just because the location is over there, closer to the bailiwick of the Middle Eastern Arab nations, because you have, you know, Russia and China, it's a little closer to their area of geographical operations and interest, you know, closer to their home, you know, and yet that area over there is so vital to the commercial livelihood of the West that if anyone's behind these pirates in that sense, I believe you're looking at, you know, at what would be our foes, our opposition, not us. That's my best guess.
Okay. Now, why would special forces have gone in to Yemen in December?
Well,
early December.
Because maybe there was intel that that there was some terrorist related bigwigs that were in Yemen. Maybe that's where Osama bin Laden is. Maybe that's where just some of the high targets are. It could be any more mundane and everything's relative, but more compared to what we're talking about, it could be a more mundane, down-to-earth military objective. And, that's just what the intel indicated.
And there is yet another possibility, and that is they didn't go. My questions about that are based on this information I get from a news service. We all know that news services cannot be entirely trusted. News services don't always check the facts before they report them. They hear something and report it without checking it. Sometimes I think they check and find out that the story is not true, but the story is so juicy they print it anyway, or they broadcast it anyway. And that's what happened with the Kosovo situation, where they were reporting about genocide taking place in Kosovo, and it's an abject, absolute, 100% falsehood. It didn't take place. And that's a matter of absolute documentation now. You can see it in the UN Security Council archives. It just didn't happen. And yet that was being reported on all of the news over here, CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, I suppose Fox, they were all, carrying the stories about the genocide. And it simply was fiction. It didn't happen. Okay. Well, the same thing could be true with these reports about special forces going into Yemen in December. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Lamestream media has put themselves in a position where no one can really believe anything we get told by them.
That's very true, and it could be. You bring up a very good possibility. It could be that this story is, the Gulf, this whole 300 warships and special forces in the Gulf of Aden could be Kalai to whatever real D-Day is going on out there. If you remember, the Germans thought that the invasion was going to come, farther at the north at Kalai, and it actually came somewhere else. This could be just, they want the world to believe, or they want somebody to believe, that our forces are in Yemen, that all these ships are there, when actually it's just another cover for something else going on, and they're actually elsewhere.
The firm known as Blackwater, of course, today is now not known as Blackwater. They're known as Z, and it's spelled XE. Mm-hmm. But in the list of nations that have ships, in that list of nations, there is one that's not a nation. Blackwater is supposed to have, according to these reports on the internet, they are supposed to have a ship in there. One report that I read said that this ship is called the MacArthur. And I just find it curious where you've got all these nations represented with their ships that you have a private corporation in the mix. What would that be about?
Well, the answer that comes to mind is, let's say that the Somali pirate situation is kind of being exaggerated as the cover for all these other national warships. Ironically, if there's any entity over there that would be over there to face the pirate situation for commercial shipping, it's going to be Z. So, actually, in my mind, Z is probably there exactly for the piracy issue, because it makes sense that Maersk or some of these other shipping companies would hire someone like Z to protect them. So if anybody's over there for the pirate situation, it's going to be Z.
So you don't you wouldn't see that as being any kind of a signal one way or the other as to whether the Stargate story is true, but it would lean more in the direction of the Somali pirate issue.
Having worked around, I've worked in the same locations that Blackwater has been assigned to. I mean, I've worked, you know, daily side by side with these guys, not for them, but with them. My capacity was in something else entirely than what they did, but, you know, we were there at the same post. And, yeah, I would say that Z would be there. They're probably hired by, you know, Maersk or one of these other, like, shipping companies. However, that said, I'm also the guy that, you know, when I was an OSI agent and Air Force officer on active duty, that's when I had my little epiphany that I believe that any UFO alleged secrecy that has to do with actual extraterrestrials and such, I believe to get around the declassification laws and I'm losing the term. They would hand it over to a company that's a contract security company because they have proprietary information, and proprietary information does not have to be disclosed to the public. So it would make sense to hand over the actual hardware and data that would be the smoking gun to one of these private security companies stood up and created for the very purpose of getting around disclosure. I've said that in the past. So I'm bringing it up now because I have to acknowledge that, okay, yeah, maybe Z is over there because certain things will be handed over to their custody. Now, remember, these companies would just be custodial in this aspect that I'm mentioning. They would just simply be custodial of certain things so that the government, Uncle Sam, can honestly say, what are you talking about? We don't have files. We don't have a crash ship. We don't have this technology, and they're not lying. They don't. So it is a slight possibility that Z would be there for something, you know, more interesting associated with a Stargate, should it be true. But my guess, based on what I know, is going to be that if anyone's there for the pirate issue, if no one else is there for the pirate issue, Z is there for that. It just makes sense. And it depends on how big is this ship, what is its capacity. You know, I my gut tells me that they've been hired by Maersk or a group of these commercial shipping companies.
Okay, now let me ask you, and folks, I will open the telephones in a little bit, but let me ask you, Walter, about the we've heard quite a bit on the internet again about MK Ultra and a program that was under MK Ultra for the development of what they called super soldiers. And there have been two or three of these that have come forward and said, I was one of those. What do you know about that?
Just what's my opinion of that in general? Or?
No, do you know anything about it? Is this the truth? Did the program exist? Did they have super soldiers?
That was out of my realm of need to know or involvement, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know nothing about that.
Do you? What does your gut tell you? Is it you've been around a lot of people that had the clearances where if they pass you in the hall, don't acknowledge them. Just keep your eyes straight ahead. Don't talk to them. I've been around that.
Yeah, definitely. And now my opinion of whether, you know, do I think there really is a, you know, there are units like that, I think, you know, why not? It does fit with both, I mean, in your experience, you know it, in my experience, I know it, it certainly fits with what I do know, sure. I just don't know of, you know, specifically, but it does fit, you know. I am aware that, you know, there are, you know, field operatives that might be you know, this program you're talking about. They were never described to me as such, but the things that they do in the field definitely include, you know, to be a special forces guy would just be part of what they learn. It would just be part of their menu.
The compound where we would go for training, and I had to go to this before each mission, and this compound, they would tell, of course, after you've been through it once, you know, but you always have new people coming in. And so they would tell you in your first meeting at this compound, if you see other groups here, you don't see them. Don't acknowledge them. Right. Don't talk to them. You don't need to know who they are or what they're training for.
Absolutely right. I've been through some of that myself.
Yeah, so, you know, and because of that, it's not difficult for me to make the leap to these super soldiers could exist, although I also have never personally met one that I know was a super soldier. I you know, maybe I did, but I didn't know it.
Exactly, as far as you know. Because here's the interesting thing about these people. As far as the closest thing to a super soldier that I got described to me is that they most likely will be the least one of the least likely suspects of people you know. You would be very surprised who they are. They're not necessarily big, giant, strapping guys.
They don't look like Rambo.
They're not all guys.
Uh-huh.
What's that?
I said, yeah, they won't look like Rambo.
And they're not all men.
Uh-huh.
I will tell you that some of the most amazingly fit and deadly operatives are women that you would never guess it. You would never guess it. And I'll tell you another thing. They're not all a bunch of 20-year-olds. In fact, you know, their average age might surprise a lot of people, you know, based on, you know, the ones I'm aware of. So,
Mid-40s?
You know, it's some older, many of them older. I mean, it's amazing. But here's an interesting thing, too. When you go through these programs, a lot of the times you don't see these people. What they're doing is they're going through great lengths because that person where they're going to be assigned, they absolutely have to be very, very careful that even people going, you know, even trustworthy good soldiers going through the program at the secret farm wouldn't even remember them. So a lot of it has to do simply with their cover. Is all the secrecy and spookiness about it is just simply to maintain a deep, deep cover, because some of these people go out of the country for years at a time.
Yeah. All right, folks, we have opened up the telephone lines. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Let me give those to you again. The main number, and you can call it from anywhere in the world, 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, and that toll-free number works in the USA and Canada. It is 888-223-4599. If you are outside of the USA and you are outside of Canada, and you don't want to make that international long-distance call, then you can send me a flash message, okay? And it's pretty easy to do. All you have to do is go to my website and scroll down. You'll see a link that says flash message, all right? And you can send me a flash message. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
And I did a little research on the MacArthur.
Mm-hmm.
Blackwater did indeed purchase it. It was built in 1966. It was run by NOAA for a long time. And they've upgraded it to have two miniature helicopters. It has a hospital unit on it. It's 138 feet long. And it also has state-of-the-art communications and satellite capabilities, as well as three rigid frame inflatable rafts. That's all I know.
Okay, so it's not a really giant ship, 138 feet. I mean, it's not a bass boat, but it's not a giant ship. It's not very big, really. Walter, would you say?
Would I what?
138 feet. That's not very big for a ship.
No, not as when you're talking warships. No, and that right there further confirms my position that it's there for anti-piracy.
Yeah, it would be faster, and it would be more nimble to handle, you know, if you're chasing somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a response.
Either that, or they could also, that plus if there is some Stargate stuff, they could be the scapegoat, like you say, just dump the information off on them.
I would hate to have that thought in my head and be stationed on that ship. Okay, Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right. Well, there we go. Now we know about the MacArthur, and we know that it is owned by, it was purchased by Blackwater, so I guess it's owned by Z now. They just changed the name. Okay, let me look here at a flash message from Australia. Hi, Kevin. Just want you to know they're trying to drop your video feed and scramble the audio. It happens every 4 to 5 minutes and then runs okay for 4 to 5 minutes. I wish they would piss off and leave us alone. All the best, Bob from Australia. Well, I agree with you, Bob, but, you know, it's like I said, I kept everything secret, so whatever they did, they had to do it in public while I'm on the air. So all of you can see it, hear it, and experience it. All right, let's go back to Yeah, Walter?
I just wanted to throw something fun out there just to play devil's advocate for the other side from my position on the Z boat.
Yeah.
Interesting that the name of the boat is the MacArthur, and we all know the legend of General Douglas MacArthur's comment to the West Point class about how the next enemy would come from beyond the stars.
Yeah, he did. He certainly did. All right, let's go back to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan Washington.
Yes.
Yeah. What's the deal with this February 11th date that Ahmed Dimajad was saying? Do you think that, are they that dumb enough to where they would pre-announce a date like that?
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad? Yeah. He would shoot his mouth off. Yeah.
Well, are they that dumb enough to tell us in advance? It's curious that he chose the day 11 and, you know, September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Walter, about all that? Do you think what's going to go down on the 11th?
I'm glad you brought that up because when I said earlier that, you know, this whole thing about the piracy and the whole thing about the Stargate could be a cover for an actual international military response or, you know, observation of something. And, yes, indeed, Ahmadinejad did say something was going to happen on the 11th. Maybe they're going to test a weapon. And naturally, all these ships would want to be in the area with whatever recording devices or devices to read the air and the atmosphere and such like that, and just to see, just to read, observe, and record the data that they get from that to determine what is the power, and also to make sure that, you know, if he does pop something off at Israel, well, we've got a multinational force there to kind of confront them. So it fits in. The February 11th threat from Ahmadinejad or comment fits in with my position that there could, you know, it could just be a much more down-to-earth military situation. Sure.
Yeah, he gave us like 3 weeks in advance. This was how smart he is. But anyways, did you hear that there was a ship that was intercepted coming from, I think it was North Korea, trying to go to deliver something to Iran? You know, this kind of scary situation we're in right now. You know, they're not going to stop. They're going to keep trying to get a nuclear weapon, and something's going to hit the fan here pretty soon, and I hope that we end up on the better end of it.
times
well,
are scary.
Yeah, it times are scary. And, I mean, obviously things are building towards something. And, you know, you got a couple of people that are, I think if you had these guys examined by psychologists or by psychiatrists, honestly, in any country, I think the little guy over in North Korea and the little guy over in Tehran would both be certifiably insane. I think you could lock them up for, you know, protection of themselves and others. Ryan, thanks for the call. All right, Walter, what's your opinion of this? This is from Blue in Australia. Could this be a could it be that there's a meteor heading towards that region, and that's why the ships are there for the use of firepower against the meteor?
Well, you know, that's an intriguing possibility with all the you know, the recent information that's been, you know, out publicly about objects that have been making near passes to the Earth. Wasn't there just in the last month or so something that we were supposed to be able to see? It was coming so close to the world.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back with Walter Bosley and more of your telephone calls right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephones are open, and the telephone numbers are the main number, 623-444-5889, and that will work from anywhere in the world. Or you can call us in the USA or Canada on the toll-free line if you don't have a plan. If you've got a plan where you can make the call and it doesn't cost you anything, please use the main number. But if you need to use the toll-free number, it is 888-223-4599. And then we have, for those of you who are outside of the USA and outside of Canada, we have the flash messages. If you don't want to make the international long distance call, go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down. You'll see the link. By the way, if you have a website, there's a link on my site where you can get a free button and links. We sure would appreciate if you would put our little button, it's small, on your website. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
How are y'all tonight?
Good.
You know, one thing I've learned over the years, and I'm sure you have too, both of you, is the left hand never knows what the right hand's doing. And that's one of the things that the tricks that they pull on the American public. They get them looking at one place, and then while they've got all their attention over there, they sneak something by them in another place. And it's always right. They hide in plain sight, basically, is what we're talking about.
What do you suspect they are doing and elsewhere? And where do you think it is, and what do you think it is?
Well, all of these Blackwater, for instance, and dealing with Area 51, where they were under another name. In that area, you know, they were keeping people away, and they were stirring up a lot of problems in Blackwater that the average person knew nothing about. And the key word in any of this is average person, because there's always going to be somebody that stumbles up on some information. And whether it's the so-called Stargate over there, whether it's the Anunnaki waking up, whether it's whatever, they have something going on, in my opinion, that they're trying to focus world attention to a certain spot. But I'm telling us, my opinion, look around us. Because in my opinion, the problem is not over there. It's right around us.
Well, let me step in and make a one correction. Okay. I think it's a correction. I could be wrong, but I think at Area 51 it was not Blackwater. I think security there was Wackenhut.
Well, it was. I didn't mean to imply that Blackwater was there. I meant to imply that the security security guard system there was basically the same. And they did the same thing. And there was a case back in the late 80s, early 90s, where they were doing a lot of war game training of foreign troops in the United States. And there were a Soviet missile battery parked on a gas station parking lot in Mississippi. I had a friend who lived in that area, and he saw this, and he relayed that story to me. And we are constantly, according to the information I've received, training forces from other countries right here in our own country. And they also then in turn a lot of times turn around and turn use it on us. This Stargate and Philadelphia experiment that Walter was talking about.
Yeah.
At one time, there used to be a name who was highly thought of, and that was Al Bielek.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to know Al. And there was also another name who associated with Al Bielek by the name of Preston Nichols, who lived up off Long Island. And Preston Nichols worked for one of the companies up there that I worked for a company, and he worked for a different aspect of the same company that I worked for. That's how I got to know him. And he also claimed that he had worked in secret in building this time machine, if you will. Now, as time went along, I lost Preston because I never could reach him again. I don't know whether he was shut up, whether he died or what, but I never could reach him again.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this is part of the same thing. It's just an accumulative thing, sort of a pyramid base that's being brought to a pinnacle at some point.
Okay, so the sum of what you're saying is, with all of this attention, whether it's the pirates or a Stargate, either way, with all the attention that's being drawn to this area, we ought to be looking around to see what's going on elsewhere, because that may be just a distraction.
It's what I'm saying, and look in your own backyard first. They'll sneak right up on you and bite you before you know they're there.
All right. Mike, thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Well, Walter, that's pretty much what you were saying about the Calais syndrome, that this may be Calais when D-Day is going to be elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it could be complete perception management.
Uh-huh. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Haya. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Yes, this previous caller that just called in, I totally agree with him. I was just going to say the same thing. I suspect that this is a ruse that's going on. I've heard undercurrents of things that don't sound very savory, especially with Blackwater right now. And also, the fact is that if they're trying to prepare war against Iran. It's awfully odd that Iran's ship would be over in that area.
It is.
You know, a lot of this is very suspect. And if the ETs are coming in, I can guarantee you, people are going to be sitting there waiting for them as they come into the back door, and they will come in the back door.
Why do you think they will come in the back door?
Well, just for the sake of it, they didn't come in and say it out loud, oh, you know, hi, we're going to... No, but I've had some contact, and it's just like a sense of knowing, and I sense that when they do come in, it's not going to be with guns pointed at them, because I'm pretty sure, and I know that they know. I mean, I watched up at the ranch this summer, and the past few times I've been up to James Gilliland's ranch with the UFOs in and out, and I watched them you know, being chased by the jets, and I watched them blink out. The jets go by, and then they blink back on again, and they're back again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cat-and-mouse type of game. They're aware. I mean, they're obviously very far, you know, they're advanced, and they know what they're doing, and obviously they don't trust the governments because the governments aren't trustworthy. So I believe they're trying to, you know, get in contact with as many of the average people on the planet, because you're hearing, I think they're going to try a false flag, to be truthful. I think a false flag is ready to come down.
All right, so let me ask you this. Do you think all these reports of a Stargate in the Gulf of Aden, do you think that is the false flag?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
I think, I mean, I was talking with Andy Bashenko. He used to be in DARPA as a child, and I spent a number of days talking for a number of hours with him, and a number of people were with him. And, yeah, there's Stargates all over the place. They have the technology. The Philadelphia experiment was successful.
Okay.
That is a known fact by the people inside the air, you know, these areas of defense. And I do know that they play a lot of games because I had a very, very dear friend who used to be in that, you know, he was an elderly person when I met him, but, I mean, he was definitely covert operations, and he did tell me a lot.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, look, thanks for the call, Haya.
Okay, have a great day, and it's a good show, by the way. I'm really enjoying it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, Walter, what about this being a false flag operation itself? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say I'm thinking Haya has a very attractive voice. I was kind of mesmerized there for a while.
Well, there you go, Haya. You need to get in touch with Walter.
I'm going to British Columbia. Yeah, see, that's I think that's very, you know, probably if there's anything to this, I, you know, one of the places I'd have to put, you know, several of my chips would be on the
false flag.
That this is a false flag. It's perception management for a much more mundane, down-to-earth, but not any less serious military situation.
All right, let's go back to the phone line. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. You know, I don't know what's going on over there. It's hard to tell, you know, these days, you know, who's up to what. But, you know, if it is a Stargate, I mean, I just like to, you know, like that thing that happened over Russia, you know, or wherever it was, you know, Russia took credit for it or whatever. I mean, you know, they couldn't keep that quiet, you know, maybe this thing's smaller and stuff, but, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, have my suspicions. I mean, you know, that thing was really weird. Who knows what it was? I don't know. And, you know, and as far as Blackwater, you know, I think that the people in the United States should petition their congressman, you know, to hold the military establishment or Pentagon responsible for these characters, because what they've actually done is hired their own personal military assassins, whatever you want to call it, you know.
Yeah, but look, now, in fairness, there are a lot of really good, capable people associated with Blackwater doing things that are not nefarious. And, you know, we don't hear about them. We hear about the ones that mess up. And just in to be fair, we can't paint the whole bunch with the same brush.
Well, I think, you know, we should keep it in-house, you know, and, you know, not what they call it, you know, outsource stuff. And, you know, and I would think that the government would be held more responsible because, you know, if they're behind them and they're paying the paychecks, yeah, we can't sue the government, but we can sue Blackwater, you know, who is employed by the government, or the government because of Blackwater.
Okay, Terry, we have to step away. We have a break taking over. I want to thank you for the call. Interesting thoughts. We'll be back with Walter Bosley right after this. We are on Final Approach, and we've just about gotten through this show without any major disruption. There have been a few, but no major disruption. And, Walter, the strange pops and clicks on your telephone line have disappeared, so that's a good thing.
I still have interference that I'm hearing on your end, but it's a little more clear now.
Well, I guess they determined that we weren't going to be doing something or saying something that was objectionable to them, whoever them are. Anyway, we have a flash message from Tony in Australia, and he says, a lot of talk over this Australia end. Is HARP creating all these portals? Could HARP actually have enough power to do this? My personal thinking is the Super Hadron Collider. I would not be surprised if they have more than one of these machines positioned around different parts of the world. All the best. Okay, very quickly, I've got two or three more here to go, but very quickly, do you want to comment on that, Walter?
The whole HARP thing has never really grabbed me, so I'm not really up on it. I think a lot of people attribute a whole lot more to HARP than probably it actually does, but the collider issue... You know, that's interesting.
All right, from Blue in Australia, could the secret banking meeting in Australia today have any connection? It could, but I wasn't aware of it. It really was a secret, I guess. Were you aware of it, Walter?
Only to the extent that I think it has to do with the Chinese are kind of telling them what to do.
Well, the Chinese, you know, the Chinese are smart people.
Yeah.
Very, very, very smart people. And they don't borrow money. And so when all this is over, they're going to be holding the notes on everybody. Everybody, every country on earth just about is going to owe China.
We have a world conflict. We have a world conflict with China coming. Folks,
well, why would you? Is it because we are borrowing more than we can pay back?
It's all these things. That's going to be one of the things that exacerbates it. That's going to be one of the cards they play on us. That's going to lead to war. Yeah, I do believe that it's coming. World conflict. You know, we're going to have our allies. They're going to be the main foe. They'll have their allies. It's going to get ugly. And nasty. That's coming. I've believed that for a long time.
Well, I will say again, and folks that don't think this is true need to think this. You need to get it in your head. They are smart people. If you take just the upper 10 percentile of the intelligence in China, by intelligence I'm talking about smart people. Okay, you take the upper 10 percentile of the smart people in China. So you now have the upper 10, the top smartest people in China, upper 10%. That's more than the entire population of this country. I mean, that is a little bit amazing, you know? Well, it's more than the entire adult population of this country. So anyway, China has ships there. Russia has ships there. Iran, we have ships. Germany has ships. Japan. Who did I leave out? Oh, the UK. I mean, that's at least
India.
That's India had ships, had announced they had ships coming. So the question then becomes, okay, we know there is the pirate situation. How much weight can we put into the Stargate? And let's do this just a little bit before we have to go. Let's now assume the story is not true. Let's now assume there's no Stargate. Let's now assume it's just a ruse by someone. How did this story get started? How could it get started? Why would it get started? Walter, you want to take a shot at that?
On the one hand, it could just be, you know, kind of like the disclosure, true believers, you know, and it could just be people that are, you know, they've just really gone off the deep end and kind of started a hoax out there, or it could be just a perception management thing done by, you know, military intel types to cover an actual military operation.
All right, now I want to throw a wrench in that and see what you say about it. We already have the pirates. People are already screaming for somebody to do something about these pirates. Why would you need to come up with a Stargate story to cover going over there to do something about the pirates?
Because it started, the presence over there was the right size or small enough that the initial story of the pirates could cover it, but whatever's going on has escalated to a point that, for all we know, we could be getting a breaking news story in the next 24 to 48 hours about a major military situation, confrontation going on in the Gulf of Aden. And this whole story is just, you know, the last minute, last ditch. Let's come up with the zaniest damn thing we can to keep the masses from being interested or even paying attention to it for the time being. And, you know, maybe in the next 24 to 48 hours we'll have a breaking news story about Iran pops off, you know, their bomb, or because they do this, tensions rise. I mean, this could happen in an instant.
It could. However, a story like this would have no effect whatsoever on the other nations in the area because their intelligence services would know what the real thing is.
And they've got their hands full, and they're not going to fool around with, you know, hey, there's no Stargate here. They're a little bit more worried about what's really going on, is my guess. And because nothing of the nature of a Stargate is going on, the people over there, well, who gives a crap? There's no Stargate in the sky. So what, you know, let the crazy Americans talk about it on their radio shows. Let the crazy Americans listen to those other guys and say, you know, oh, it's Zeta Reticulans coming through the other dimension and this, that, and Cthulhu and all this stuff. You know, that's their attitude. You know,
and on the other hand, Cthulhu may come through a Stargate over there.
Could what?
Could come through a Stargate over there. It could be true.
It could be. It could be. We didn't even have time to get into how this matches up with certain prophetic visions, be it of various religions, various mythologies, Nostradamus. You know, we didn't even get into, you know, how this, you know, there will be visions, you know, in the skies and stuff like that. This could have, you know, less to do with aliens and military stuff and more to do with, you know, freaky esoteric things. We don't know.
That sounds like a good name for a country western song. Freaky esoteric things. That'd be a good song.
Yeah.
Walter, I want to thank you for being with me this evening. If you will, just stay on the phone with me for a minute.
Absolutely.
And as always, it's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Folks, look, this kind of thing we have to discuss. If we don't discuss it, and then it turns out to be true, then we just did exactly what lamestream media does. Now, is it true? I don't know. Is it a ruse? Is it a hoax? I don't know. There are some elements of the story that seem to be accurate. But does that mean the whole story is accurate? We don't know. It's too early to know yet. But we will know soon, I think. We will know. I appreciate you being here. Do not forget that tomorrow evening we will be. I will be in the chat room, and I hope to see you there. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.